Starting 2 Peter with that verse, because this is a growing thing. You know, it's just easy to quit no matter what. The devil will always lay something out there for us to turn and walk away from the Lord, but it's just the devil. And we don't want to do that. We want to go toward the Lord, and the Lord will allow different tests and trials in our life for us to grow down deep inside. And that's where the real work takes place, on the inside. And he's talking about growing in faith here, and one of the things that we want to look at tonight is this growing in your faith. We'll start in verse 5, okay? And besides this, giving all diligence, 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue, that's moral excellence, and to virtue, knowledge, of course this is knowledge of Christ, and to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And this word patience here is the word that we're talking about tonight is endurance. It's enduring through things. It's translated patience in verse 6, 2 Peter 1:6. Grace to endure and glorify God. Now, we're not talking about the two concepts that are basically out there with regard to enduring things. One is stoic, and that is, you know, don't ever let them see you sweat. You see these commercials and everything, and just swallow it and this all kind of stuff. That's one way. And the other thing is, the other way is just that's repressing your feelings. And the other way is just the opposite end of the stick, or yanking a car on the other end of the ditch, and that is, oh, just explode with all of your emotions, you know, and everything blows up and what have you. No, that's not a Christian virtue either. But actually, endurance or patience through something, that's a Christian virtue. A Christian virtue. So endurance is what we need in the Christian life, I think, probably more than anything, and that is stick-to-itiveness, my dad used to say. Stick-to-itiveness. I'm not sure if that's a word. But it sounds good, right? Sticking to it until you get the job done. And we want to thank the Lord that he gives us strength to what he wants to accomplish in our life today. As your days, so shall your strength be. So there's nothing wrong with getting tired and having to stop a certain project, you know, and pick her up again tomorrow. But at the same time, we want to do what we can do for the Lord today, day by day. We want to do that. Kevin, you don't mind shutting those doors for me, will you, please? And that is spiritual endurance. You know, for my ministry, I know certain things are coming. So no one has to put me on a 9-to-5 schedule. Because, boy, that would be easy for me. That would be an easy life for me, 9-to-5. Wow, what a life. But no, I know what needs to be accomplished, because Sunday's always coming. Pastor Tom knows what I'm talking about. Sunday's coming whether or not you have family in or not. Isn't that right? Sunday's still coming. And what that means for minister, of course, is that you better get yourself prepared. So if you have family or friends, they want to do some things, what have you, we all understand that. Then you're just going to have to make the time to do it. And I think the Lord give you energy to do what he wants to accomplish in your life. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. This is another reason we know that God is at work, because we can acknowledge our weaknesses at time, and then we know that God has to do it. That's actually a good place, because the Lord will show himself strong if we depend upon him. Let's go to prayer, okay? Tonight, grace to endure and glorify God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we cast our dependence upon you now, as you desire us to do. We do ask that you be glorified in our life. You know the things that each one of us is going through. And you want us to go through these things with joy. And we thank you that you do give joy. And you said that you would give us strength as our days are. As your days, so shall thy strength be. Which means, dear Lord, that you will give us the strength for what you want to accomplish that day in our lives. And that can be different, for sure. It won't always be the same thing every day. You want us to walk with you and talk with you and draw from your life. I thank you for the great love, dear Lord, wherewith you loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Christ died for us. You reminded us again on Sunday that we are to be thinking upon these things all the time, not just on a communion service, but all the time. We don't want to neglect so great a salvation, but actually grow in knowledge of it, an experiential living knowledge, not just words in a book. We want Christ to be perfectly formed in us and to be seen through us. Now, Lord, bless your study tonight of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard me say this many a time, but God desires that every person would be saved from their sin, then that every believer would conform, be changed into the likeness of Christ. That's God's will for everyone. One of the gracious gifts of Christ's likeness is endurance. It is evident that part of our maturing our character is for it to be tried or tested. Our faith in God is to be exercised by appropriating the grace that God gives under trial. We might feel overwhelmed at times, but we must remember God is here. He is right by our side. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Those are all truths declared that we should believe. What does it mean to believe something? It means to operate as though it were true. To operate or to act as though it were true. That's faith. Okay? So the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. So we need to act as though that is true. Every believer will be tested in the course of his life so that they will learn not to depend upon themselves. That's kind of a hard lesson, isn't it? But God will show us. He'll step right in and take over, and that's wonderful. They will need a greater strength to endure. The enabling strength will come when we continue to look to Jesus for his strength. We can do all things or do everything God desires us to do to glorify him in a trial if we draw upon Christ's strength. Now, I know most of you already know Philippians 4:13. And what does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, right? Okay, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and let's see a little insight into doing good works while you're enduring. You say, well, if I'm enduring something, I hope somebody did it a good work for me. Well, that's true too. That'll happen. So grace to endure and glorify God. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. What does that mean? We thought we were going to die. Okay. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You ever felt like that? This is going to kill me. No, it's not. The only thing that's going to kill you is God when he's ready for you to die. And other than that, you're not going to die. That's called the sovereignty of God. I believe in that. I think we all have an appointed time. Even the unbeliever, for them, after this, the judgment, for us, an evaluation of our works, of course, for the believer. Let's go on, though. So he thought he was going to die, and he wanted to let them know we had that type of trouble in Asia. In verse 10, verse 9. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. Now this is spiritual endurance. That's the path of spiritual endurance. Not trusting in ourselves. That's a huge step of maturity. As soon as we step away from how am I going to figure this out, we can mature. I've realized I ain't going to figure it out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to figure it out. I'm just going to have to trust the Lord. Why did that happen? I don't know, but God does. But in God, our trust is going to be in God, which raiseth the dead. So, you see, we had this despair even of life. We thought we might die, but we did realize God raises the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Three tenses of delivering there, or spiritual endurance. He has delivered us from spiritual death. He is delivering us from sin itself. And we trust that he will deliver us. And that means ultimately, he will deliver us. One day we won't even be able to sin anymore. Hallelujah. Praise him. But notice here, he rehearses that, and then he says here, this is just a taste of Sunday's message. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now in your papers here, let's look at this. We see a pattern for good works. This gives us a little insight into the good works of a believer. Pray for people in need, in this case it was Paul, and give them a gift, especially those of the household of faith. Pray and give them a gift. That's a good work. How many of you ever wonder, you know, the Lord said good works, I wonder what a good work would be. Well, right here you have one printed out. This is a good work. Paul always thanks God for any time somebody gives him something. I thank my God, you know, that he did this through you. He doesn't actually ask for a gift. He does pray for one. And he does pray for other people. He prays that the Word of God will have free course. And that's, we should be praying that. That the Word of God would not be hindered in our lives or in the lives of others, but we'd have free course, just have a clear path to God with the Word. Nothing hindering us, nothing between our soul and the Savior. Here's another avenue of endurance. You probably heard this one a few times. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And let us not be weary in well doing. That's endurance. Wait a minute. We're doing well and yet we can be weary? That's right. And the Lord said, don't be weary. If you're leaning to being weary while you're doing well, stop doing that. Keep with the doing well part, but let the Lord take care of the sowing and the reaping in his time. For in due season, that's when God decides. We shall reap if we faint not. So keep on praying and giving gifts. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. There's a good work. Unto all men. But notice this caveat. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Because what good does it do to show love out in the community if we're not having it in the house of God? Right? Okay. The word Peter uses for endurance means to remain under. Remain under. This means that we remain under control of the Holy Spirit by perpetually yielding ourselves to him. We don't want to yield to our flesh when our faith is being tested. That's a choice. But rather we want to cooperate with God in his perfecting work in us. Remain under. Now this is also a term that's used for a weightlifter. Anybody here ever done any bench pressing? Does anybody here know what bench pressing is? Okay, you lay down on the bench, okay? With your back on the bench, there's these two metal posts that come up, and across there's a bar, and on each side there's weights. Boom, boom, boom. And when you take it off the rack and you're trying to bring it down to your chest, and sometimes it comes pretty quick, you're under it. You're remaining under it. And hopefully you have somebody spot you. Anybody know what a spot is? A little something on your glasses. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about two guys on each side or one guy right behind you who can help lift that off in case you can't get it back up, and that does happen sometimes. You know, I marvel at these guys. Some of them got these shirts on, 300, 350, one guy, 500. And we made a new door for him to come in. You know, it wasn't wide enough. Remain under. What we're remaining under is the influence of the Holy Spirit. And this is enduring. Now, do you need spiritual endurance tonight? Anybody need it? Everybody needs it. You think you need it more often when you know you're in a test. That's when you need it most. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is he saying? In the vernacular, I think he's saying this. Lord, don't let me waste this trial or this test. Make me like yourself. Don't waste it. I know I'm in the fire. Just go ahead and do your perfecting work. I fully trust you, though my mind doesn't. My heart does. I think that's what he's saying, remain under. And I've prayed that prayer a number of times in my life. Just giving yourself fully to the Lord, remaining under, yielding to the Holy Spirit. And you'll endure the trial if you do it. In Hebrews 11, we see believers exercising an enduring faith under trial. The ethical principle at stake was maintaining a response that glorified God, no matter what the external pressures. The pressures that could tempt a man to move away from God could be physical torture, natural affliction and disease, poverty, pressure from family or friends, or pressure from the ungodly culture. All of these are avenues to take us away from God at times, but we're not to do it. We must be careful not to respond with anxiety. So if you're feeling anxious about anything tonight, stop doing that. I have to look in the mirror and say that to myself sometimes. Anger. Well, that's good for about a day, and then it decays into fleshliness. Despair inside, or to respond with outward sinful actions. Those are all wrong actions. We can't respond that way if we desire to glorify God in our fire. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Wow, I just love that. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I think I have time to read this. I was hoping that I would. The Lord can say it a lot better than I can, so let's see what he says about it here. You'll see that as you read these verses, you keep on going. You know, there's not a chapter 12. That man put that in there so we would know where to find it. We're going to read it all the way through and see how they endured. How did they endure? How did they endure physical torture, natural affliction and disease, poverty, pressure from family or friends, pressure from the ungodly culture? How did they respond with joy without anxiety, anger, despair, or retaliate sinful actions with sinful actions? And the answer is that they wanted to glorify God. And that's, we're going to see how you do glorify God. Starting in verse 6, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place that he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. There sprang there even of one, of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Abraham had a lot of children, didn't he? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, or this earth. They looked for a new heaven, a new earth. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have what? Returned at the turning back. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, that means a believing, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What did he picture? He pictures the Son of God raising from the dead. That's what he pictured. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he what, folks? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. We're going to see the idea of seeing to endure again pretty soon here at the beginning of chapter 12. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest that he destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assuaging to do, were drowned. They were intending to do, trying to do. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more, for the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who was that? Who was in the den of lions? Daniel was. Who else killed a lion? Samson. Who else killed a lion? David. Verse 34, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. That's endurance. Waxed valiant in fight. As they continued to fight and by faith, they got stronger. That's what that means. They turned to flight the enemies of the aliens from other countries. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Wow, resurrections. And others were tortured. Wait a minute, we just took a dive, didn't we? I mean, we were on the mountaintop, weren't we? Resurrected, and then the bottom drops out. These people were faithful. Look what happened to them, verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They would not deny God. They would not deny Christ. That they might tame a better resurrection. They believed it. Oh yeah, I'm going to be resurrected. How can I deny God? Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings. You think if somebody says something against you, you don't like it. We haven't been through these things. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They were beaten while they were being mocked. Yea, moreover, of bonds, that's the metal chains, and imprisonment, that's a prison, of course, in jail. How about this one, verse 37, they were stoned, hit with big stones. They were cut in two. That's what sawn asunder means. We believe that Isaiah was the one that died that way. They cut him in half. They were tempted, what? Not to believe God. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They didn't have a place to live and nothing to eat. All that was taken away. But notice what the Lord says about them. Of whom the world was not worthy. That's quite a compliment from Jesus. I just love that one. They wandered in deserts, verse 38, and in mountains, and in dens, and in caves of the earth. They kept moving because they were trying to stay alive. Verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report, that means they were faithful, through faith, received not the promise. They didn't get that new heaven, new earth yet. They didn't see that new Jerusalem yet. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for them, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're going to be made perfect with them. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore seeing, remember that seeing invisible thing came in before? Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that we just read about these people. Let us lay aside every weight, anything that's hindering us running our race. Get rid of it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience, that's the word endurance. Let us run, keep that race. The goal is perfect likeness to Christ. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's how you win. Looking unto Jesus. Can you read that out loud with me? Looking unto Jesus. That means over and over and over and over and over. And over again. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he got us into it. The finisher, he's going to complete it. What is it? It's our faith. Who for the joy, here's the pattern, here's the example. Here's how he completed his race. Who for the joy that was set before him, he did what? Endured the cross. What was the joy? Saving you. Saving me. That's what he saw. He saw Gary over here. That's right. He saw Gary over here. How long ago? 2,000 years ago? He saw Gary before the world even was formed. And he knew Gary was going to trust him. And he died on a cross for him. Just give you a light, wonderful spiritual feeling, doesn't it? That's the truth. I love the truth. And so he endured the cross. He knew what was coming. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. You think he like all that was thrown upon him? All the sin, all the things weren't true. All of our sins, the shame of that, that was thrown upon him. He despised it, but he still received it. And is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. That means the work's been done. For consider him that in what? Endured. Here's our application. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Father, thank you so much tonight for the grace of endurance. It's a gift. We thank you for giving it to us. We need to appropriate it. We need to keep looking to you, pass the test, and glorify your name. New heaven, new earth coming soon. A new body too, so we can live there. God be praised. All God's people say, amen.